Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you'd like to join the show today. I'm your host, PJ. In the studio with me right now is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber. Welcome back to the show, Todd.
Thank you, PJ.
It's the Chamber Connection. So what is the Chamber up to?
Yeah, so we got a lot going on, and I just want to say it's a beautiful Chamber of Commerce day out today.
I
hope everybody's enjoying it. We had the Seafood Festival over the weekend, and a lot of great events coming up in October. This Friday, we have our Good Morning Pensacola breakfast at Scenic Hills Country Club. So you can go online and register for that. Always a great turnout. Navy Federal Credit Union is our sponsor for October, and they'll be doing a great presentation. And then something I want everybody to know about is next Friday, we'll be hosting our annual First Responders Appreciation Lunch. We do it at the Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
We have food trucks, and a lot of community folks will be there. All first responders eat for free. We just want to say thank you for all that they do. And it's always just one of my favorite events just because it's a great way to say thank you to those folks who do so much every day to protect us and keep us safe. So
yeah,
that's next Friday from 11 to 1 at the Chamber in our parking lot. So.
All right, perfect. What kind of food trucks are going to be there? Or is Willa still working on that?
No. We're all lined up. We've got Sonny's Barbecue, Chick-fil-A.
Oh, nice.
I've got a Mexican taco truck. We're going to have snowballs and lemonade and a lot of different types of food trucks and treats as well. So come on out. Like I said, first responders eat free, but we want as much of the public that can come to come and support our first responders.
All right. You also have a guest in studio with you. Let me have you introduce her.
Yes. So today, talking to Nicole Geislason. She's the executive director of the Haas Center with the University of West Florida. Nicole, welcome to the Chamber Connection.
Good morning, Todd. Thank you for having me. And good morning, PJ.
Good morning.
Good to be with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Nicole, tell us a little bit about your background, the Haas Center, what y'all do, and how you support the business community.
Thank you for that. So the Haas Center is celebrating our 30th anniversary this year.
Mm.
I was one of two employees back in the day when Dr. Bill Huth set up the center out of the College of Business at the University of West Florida. I was a research assistant at the time and newly finished school and eager to start my career. I did do a short stint with an engineering firm after college and also had aspirations of managing a manufacturing firm, but that never materialized. I went out for a few interviews and they asked me, "Well, lady, I see you've got a degree or so, but can you turn a wrench?" And sadly, that never did materialize.
Mm-hmm.
But Parks Dimsdale and Bill Huth called me back to school one day and said, "Hey, we need you to help us set up some newsletters, build some websites." And I said, "Sign me up." I was ready. And so from there, went on to manage the IT Academy at the University of West Florida. That gave me some insights into the workforce needs. Did that for numerous years. But that was sort of the precursor to the Center for Cybersecurity because we offered many different certifications, Network Plus, Security Plus, and the Office of Continuing Education continues that tradition today in conjunction with the Center for Cybersecurity. So the Haas Center, though, our main focus is researching the workforce, doing surveys, economic impact analyses, and other types of data services. So you may be familiar with our website, haas.uwf.edu, and you'll click on a section called Explore the Economy. And 5 years when I came back to the Haas Center, we started tracking essential elements of our economy. And so you'll see things about tourism, including our airport, which is really soared in recent years, and we compare our airport with those in Panama City as well as Destin, Fort Walton Beach, and Mobile. And Todd has heard me say this 100 times, but sad little Mobile, their airport is really, really lacking these days.
Mm.
And in 2023, they stopped sending me their data. So I invite your listeners to go online and check out that particular data set as well as others related to jobs and the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But our students are really the main source of our research effort. We always have had, you know, 6 to 8 students on the team working part-time as they finish their MBA or their engineering degree or their econ degree. So it's really nice to have those smart young individuals around us working on those survey projects and economic impact analyses.
I was just going to say, I see that you also cover real estate transactions, employment indicators, manufacturing indicators. So talk to me about the importance of that data that you're sharing with the community.
Well, right. You can't determine where you need to go without looking backwards and seeing where you've been. So you mentioned manufacturing. That's one of the data sets that's near and dear to my heart. And manufacturing employment is relatively flat. But when you look at the types of jobs that are in manufacturing, these are high-skill, high-wage jobs that don't always require a degree. Now, of course, I'm a big advocate for degree programs, but, you know, it's not for everyone. And that's why we need high-skill, high-wage employment opportunities for our young people because, you know, today they may want to turn a wrench at General Electric, Vernova, or, you know, they may want to go to work at Navy Federal. And both of those locations offer starting jobs that don't require a 4-year degree. But both of those locations also pay for additional education, so they can go to PSC or UWF and round out their education with a 4-year product at some point in time. So I really, really like that about measuring the manufacturing employment as well as employment in other industries like finance and insurance, real estate, et cetera.
Yeah. I've heard it said, this isn't your parents' manufacturing anymore.
Right.
You know, people don't think about that too often, that, like you said, it's high skill and because there's technology involved now.
It's no longer the dirty, dark, and dangerous world that we thought of many, many years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So something that we're involved with now is this is new organization that's been stood up in the past year, and it's called the Northwest Florida Business Alliance. It's a new business organization. Talk about the Business Alliance. What's the purpose? What's the goal? And some of the folks who are involved with it.
Happy to do that, Todd. And I have to thank you for your thought leadership in the Business Alliance. You, along with Rick Byers from Florida West and FPL, Martha Saunders and JT Young, as well as Bruce Friedenberg from Hancock Whitney. Together, you all put together this platform for economic developers as well as community advocates and leaders to discuss opportunities that come forward in economic development. And as you mentioned, it's the Northwest Florida Business Alliance, and that encompasses 2 counties, both Escambia and Santa Rosa. So members of the alliance will come together quarterly to discuss topics of interest such as OLF 8 or other community hot topics, right? Our economic developers will give briefings, so I expect you'll hear from Shannon Ogletree, Erica Grancagnolo, as well as Rick Byers and Verdell Hawkins from FPL. So these will be meaningful briefings that provide us with insights as to the value of the companies that we're trying to recruit to our area, also the companies that we're trying to grow here locally. And that's very important because, as you know, Todd and PJ, diversifying our economy is one of the core goals of both the chamber as well as economic developers. And so the Business Alliance, I imagine it will give voice to business leaders throughout the community. Right now we have about 55 members. It's $1,000 a seat, and I invite all thought leaders in our region to join and listen in and take part in this conversation so that we can advocate for economic development projects.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that this is an organization that every chamber in the 2-county region and both EDOs, and as you mentioned, like the City of Pensacola's Economic Development Department, they're all part of this. And if you're a member of any of the chambers in the 2-county region, you can be a member of the Business Alliance. We want as much of the business community as engaged and involved as possible. And as you mentioned, I mean, things like OLF 8, maybe what's happening with the Bay Center, transportation issues, all these types of things, education issues, all these types of things are important to the business community. And just from my perspective and some of the conversations we had as we were getting this organized was, you know, the business community sort of lost their voice when the Pensacola Chamber broke into three different organizations. And this was important to our members that we get that voice back, that the business community be able to, as you say, get together, discuss these issues, and have a voice and take a stance on some of these important issues.
No, it's very important. So thank you for that, Todd. You're an integral part of the Business Alliance, and as are the other chambers in the community.
Yeah, so, and you can reach out to us at the chamber if you want more information and if you want to get engaged. A very important initiative moving forward. So talk a little bit more about what you're seeing. I mean, you talked about a lot of data collection. You're taking a look at what's happening in the region. What are you seeing just in general with economic development in Northwest Florida?
So Northwest Florida, broadly speaking, has about 1 million people this side of the Apalachicola River. So that's a good base, right? Thinking more locally in your listener area, we have about 530,000 people. Of that number, about 222,000 are currently employed. And the unemployment rate is low. Virtually everybody that wants a job has a job. But it's important that we examine where those jobs are located. Right now, about 43,000 people are employed in government. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's our biggest sector.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both a blessing and a curse, right? If the federal government gets a cold, guess what? We get pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
So it is yet another reason we need to diversify and incorporate other major employers in the mix. We also have a huge healthcare sector. Our population's getting a little bit older each day, and so the need to care for the aging baby boomers as well as the newcomers to our area is top of mind. I heard on this radio station last week a great interview with the COO of Baptist, and he indicated that they've hired 700 new people since they opened their new facility on Brent Lane. So that's incredible growth, and we're seeing that in the data. The other important employment area for this region is accommodations and food service. Those are great first jobs, fabulous employment opportunities. And they teach individuals customer service skills and how to interact with the public, deal with money, deal with cash, so on and so forth. But they don't pay really well, right? Good first jobs, but, you know, we've got to upskill and backfill with newbies in the hotel and restaurant business. So those are our three big categories: military, government, healthcare, as well as tourism. And all great sectors to work in. Of the three, of course, the government pays the best, right? So that's where our largest employment is right now. But when you think about future growth, we're seeing growth in technical and professional services. We're seeing growth in education services, as well as modest growth in manufacturing. But the growth you see in manufacturing, I will underscore, is really in terms of wages. They pay well. And so those are our opportunities for growth, right? When we look at companies to recruit and invest in. And by the way, I'm a business owner too. My husband owns Global Trading. And so a lot of the work that he undertakes is informed by what's happening globally. And so business is at the core of what we do, both in terms of our personal business and then also the research that gets underway at the Haas Center. Thinking about additional ways to diversify, there are incredible entrepreneurship programs in our community, and Todd, you're a big part of that. Growing our own businesses here locally is an important way for us to grow the jobs and the wages and the income. So I'll let you talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. So we have a innovation and entrepreneurial committee at the chamber that Lloyd Richard chairs. And if you don't know Lloyd and you're into entrepreneur and small business and growing businesses, you need to get to know Lloyd, because he has a passion for entrepreneurs, for starting businesses. And it's important because we have such a great community here. We have great quality of life. And we want to, you know, one, keep talent that is going to the University of West Florida, Pensacola State, Pensacola Christian, or just coming through high school. You want to keep that that talent here, but we also want to attract talent from across the region and across the country. So supporting those small businesses, supporting those entrepreneurs is something that's very important to us at the Chamber. We have a monthly meeting that's open to anyone who wants to come at the to the Chamber for the Innovation Entrepreneurial Committee. It's the last Tuesday of every month at 9:30 a.m. at the Chamber. And it's really just an opportunity to get together, talk about the ecosystem, connecting those resources that are in the area, and supporting each other and helping those entrepreneurs grow and succeed so we can have more of these folks in our community. So, again, that committee meeting's the last Tuesday of every month, 9:30 a.m. at the Chamber. But you can, you know, again, contact us, and I can get you in touch with Lloyd Richard, who just does a tremendous job. Quinn Bro in our office is the lead staff person. But, yes, also an important component of economic development in our region.
And, Todd, you mentioned talent. So, and several of our education institutions import talent from outside the region. Thinking about the University of West Florida, we're at just a whisker shy of 15,000 students right now. Mm. And of those 15,000, about 9,000 come from the four westernmost counties, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, Walton, and Escambia counties. So that means the remaining 6,000 or so come from outside the region. And that's an important source of future talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a community, we can invite them to remain and work at our businesses and become entrepreneurs. So that's a real growth opportunity for our region.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully they move down here, yeah, find things that they love about the area, want to stay, and then one of the area employers steps up and hires them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you touched on this a little bit, you know, we've got a number of different education partners who work in the workforce space, if you will, and that's something that's also important to us at the Chamber. But people may have the misconception that you're competing against each other, but that's not really the case. Talk about that a little bit.
No, thank you for that, Todd. So if a community college starts to have challenges, that's going to mean that the university system will have a challenge too. So it's very important that our community and state colleges have a good, strong pipeline of students, and that starts early. You know, K through 12 is an important part of their education and training, so that when they're ready to embark upon a degree program of some kind, whether it's an Associate of Arts, an Associate of Science, a bachelor's degree, or what have you, we want to make sure that they're well prepared to take that step into the State College and or the University of West Florida or Pensacola Christian College. Any one of those institutions is well placed and will take care of their students' needs, their safety, their education, and frankly, it's a really great path to a future. So when I talk to young people nearing their high school graduation about attending college and university, I don't start with the next step in getting into college. I say, well, where do you see yourself in 10, 20 years? You know, what's your passion? What do you want to do? What can you tolerate for 40 to 60 hours a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to motivate you to get up in the morning? And so working from that end, we can work our way back into where that student needs to go. What's the best next step? Do they take a part-time job and go to school part-time? Or do they, you know, perhaps visit the financial aid office and talk about ways in which they can cover the cost of school? You know, college and university education in the state of Florida is a bargain. I mean, tuition is relatively low compared to many, many other states. And, you know, our state university system and college system is second to none. I attribute a lot of our state's growth to the fact that we do a great job of educating our students, especially in post-secondary. So I think that's a tremendous opportunity for our region to capitalize on higher education. And I also like to talk a little bit about opportunities to enter UWF, not only at the as as a degree-seeking student, but you can also come in and be part of our leisure learning group or continuing ed. The many certificate programs, both in terms of technical programs as well as leadership training and opportunities to engage with the university that might not be top of mind when you think of a four-year school.
Mm-hmm. So students have an opportunity, or I should say adult students maybe have an opportunity to go back to school as their market changes, like you said before, upskill, and then be ready for that next job at their company.
Well said, PJ. Yes, indeed. The other thing I'd like to mention is UWF has an ambition to grow our use-inspired research. And that's really the Haas Center's sweet spot. So use-inspired research or applied research are things like economic impact studies. We're also the EDA University Center in the state of Florida, actually one of two. Florida A&M University is an EDA center. And UF used to be an EDA center, but now UWF has taken that spot. And what that enables us to do is short-term use-inspired research projects at low cost or no cost to the customer. So take, for example, a company wants to redesign an alternator. And so I'll mention Arco Marine. They came to our innovation lab downtown inside the Museum of Commerce. It's called C3D. And Jason Crawford came in. He had an alternator on the table, and he said, "You know what? I'm having difficulty finding this part and that part." So our mechanical engineer that's on staff at the Haas Center was able to help redesign that particular component, and now it's in manufacturing. So I invite you to reach out to C3D. I can get you in touch with our students and engineer that works there. But it's small projects like that that are funded by the EDA University Center program. So we're really grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, just another resource for businesses in our community. So we've got a couple minutes left. Anything else? Talking to Nicole Geese-Lawson with the Haas Center at the University of West Florida. Nicole, anything else you want to share with our listeners as we wrap up?
Well, it's great to spend time with you, Todd. I will mention that while we are a local organization in downtown Pensacola and the oldest schoolhouse in the region, we are statewide. So we do have customers from Indian River County, Florida, all the way up to here in Pensacola. We do a little bit of work outside the state, including a little bit in Virginia with the Navy Federal, the largest private employer in the region. So that's been great work for our students and for me as well. Every project is a learning experience, and so I'm grateful to the University of West Florida for giving me and my team the opportunity to do that. And thank you for having me today.
I see that people can also request custom data via your website as well.
Indeed, yes. If it takes us less than an hour to run those numbers, we'll do that at no cost. And that's been a long-standing commitment to the community. It started with Dr. Bill Huth and has lasted for all 30 years of the Haas Center's work.
Yeah, and one more time, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you and find the information?
Sure. Well, I'll say that the website is a great source of information, haas.uwf.edu, and you're welcome to email me. It's simple. Nicole@uwf.edu. That's nicole@uwf.edu.
All right, perfect. What else does the chamber have coming up?
So again, we've got Good Morning Pensacola this Friday at Scenic Hills Country Club. So you can go on our website, pensacolachamber.com, to register for that. Mm-hmm. And then next Friday, October 11th, 11 to 1 lunchtime, our first responders appreciation event with food trucks and fun, and it's open to the community, so really encourage folks to come out for that. So,
yeah, and I can tell you the networking breakfast is a wonderful place to exchange business cards, but also make some lifelong friends, and you also give away prizes too.
Yeah, we've got great door prizes. We'll have a great program, about 130 folks there, so come on out.
All right, thank you both for being here today.
Thanks, PJ.